Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Craig Hoffman.
What does it mean if you see a sign that says no fouling?
LeBron James's house?
The Hoffman Show.
No, that is not.
No crossing.
No. It means your dog can't poop there.
Oh, wow.
They call it no fouling.
One of my neighbors does flagrant fouls all the time.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's a Friday on the Hoffman Show. What's up? What's happening? Welcome in here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And, it's a fun Friday. It's a short Friday show. Butler, Georgetown coming up at 6:15 tonight here on the Team 980. But it's also a fun Friday because we are finally, after a long hiatus, welcoming Clinton Yates back to the show. Clinton will join us coming up at 5:30 after he is done with Around the Horn. Clinton has been out because he became a dad. And he was on paternity leave from his actual job, which is not to be a guest on the show, although he treats it like one. And I'm excited to welcome Clinton back because he couldn't do our show while he was not doing his own shows. That's not only wouldn't have been sat well with his bosses. It's kind of illegal, even though he's not on our payroll. Anyway, the point is Clinton is back. Papa Yates, he'll love that I just said that. Clinton is back at 5:30 today. You hear from Logan coming up at 5:00. We're going to talk a little bit about the offensive line situation here with the Commanders. So me, Logan, at 5:00, take command style. And we're going to talk about some of the mock draft stuff here potentially in the first hour, as three of my favorites from NFL Network in terms of the mock draft space have released their mocks. So I think instead of this year, last year we called it Mock the Mocks, where we tried to have fun with it, but then we just wound up reading them, and I was like, we're not really mocking them. So I think we're just going to call it Mock Draft Update this year, and we'll see if we can get some fancy imaging made with some fun news sounding do-do-do-do-do-do-do Dateline. Eric Edholm's inbox or whatever. But we'll have some fun with that at 4:30. Unless you guys blow up the phone lines. And the thing that we're going to talk about to start the show, where you're going to have the opportunity to call until we're out of calls, or at least until 5:00, is unfortunately the basketball team. We're going to talk about this Wizards situation because we were there yesterday at Capital One Arena ahead of the game, and we got it all set up, and what we were afraid it happened happened. It was the second game of back-to-back. They had looked like dog dookie the night before, and they looked like the same flaming pile of poo last night. It was a bad performance against the Los Angeles Lakers, and I don't flippantly use that kind of terminology often, but man, I just don't know what else to call it. I'll be more respectful. That was bad ball. That's a bad freaking basketball, bro. Like, watching that game last night, they look like a high school team at times. And I hate that because they're professional basketball players, and I wish that it didn't look like it was a high school basketball team at times. But the disorganization, the lack of force they play with, the decision-making, the literal inability to get off a shot anywhere near the rim, and Jordan Poole talked about it a little bit post-game where he was like, they're just sitting on our shots right now because they couldn't hit a three for a lick last night. They're shot 22%. I think they were 4 for something from the field. Like, it was awful. So when you can't shoot from the outside, everyone's sitting on everything inside. They're getting swatted left and right. Poole's getting blocked. Kuz is getting blocked. Just, it looked like a high school team playing a college team, or a college team playing a pro team, or kind of like a high school team playing a pro team. And I think it is worth pointing out that a lot of their players, far too many of their players, could have played in high school last year. / were playing high school in like 2 years ago. And it's I don't even care about the Bronny MVP bit at the end. Like, that's embarrassing, but who cares? I have much bigger things to worry about with the Wizards in terms of their long-term good or badness than whether Bronny, who is a G League level player and had his 5 points career high last night, we're only talking about because he's the son of LeBron James. And again, I've talked about the Bronny-Bron thing. I have no problem with what the Lakers are doing. If you want to reward LeBron James, perhaps the greatest player that's ever played, with how allowing his son to play some games with him. Like, if there's any singular basketball player over the last 25 years who has deserved that, if not the last 100 years who has deserved that, it might just be LeBron James. Like, Bill Russell, I'd probably put ahead of him. But outside of Bill Russell in the 60s, LeBron might be next. Like, LeBron is that important to the league. LeBron has done that much good in the league. And he is the only guy who's, like, it's not like he's hanging on to play with his son. Like, he's still a top 20 player in the league. He's awesome. And he showed it last night, a cool, easy 24 points in as part of the Lakers' demolition. I don't care about the MVP chance for Bronny. What I do care about is the fact that the Wizards are wholly uncompetitive right now. And last season, Wes Unseld Jr. got fired because they were wholly uncompetitive. And they didn't try anything, and they weren't willing to experiment in the way the front office wanted to experiment. Wes just was inflexible. And, okay, fine. I have no problem with them firing Wes Unseld when they did. Hearing about kind of the disconnect, I think. I don't think Wes is a bad coach, but I don't think he was the right coach. Brian Keefe might be the right coach. But for right now, the inability to put together anything remotely resembling an NBA-caliber performance is an issue. And I just don't know how you keep playing like this and think that while they're saying right now, and maybe they're even right, we're not developing bad habits. These guys are doing what we're asking. The individual growth pieces that they're looking for is there. There's no way it can continue if you're losing by 40 every night. And I thought Dave was great with us yesterday because, you know, he was like, look, they need to come out and they need to play with force. They need to start fast and like make a statement early that they're going to be competitive. And they come out in the first quarter and they get their asses kicked. And so what I wanted to do, though, before like saying this is a five-alarm fire and that everything is wrong and like abandon ship, all the nice things we've said about Michael Winger and Will Dawkins are not true. They're actually don't know what they're doing, is I wanted to go back and look at the Thunder and the way that it was done for this same, or for Will at least, in Oklahoma City. Because Michael, by the time that the current version of the Thunder, the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander Thunder, had been built, Michael had left for Los Angeles. Now, Michael Winger was a part of the Thunder organization for a long time, and he actually was a huge part of their success because he was on the LA side of the Paul George trade. But I wanted to look at the records and then kind of the timeline, because I actually think that's instructive here. Like, when should we expect to see the turn? And so the first season under or after they lose, right? So they lose in the 2019-2020 Western Conference playoffs first round. It was their 1-2-3 fourth straight first round exit under Billy Donovan, where Russell Westbrook was their best player. Paul George is a part of that series as well. And that is a seven-game series where in the final game, the Rockets win a 2-point 104-102 victory. Let's see. We can pull up the box score and everything. Pro Basketball Reference is the best. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plays 40 minutes in that game. He scores 19 points. Chris Paul has 19 points. He's still on the Thunder at that point. You have guys like Steven Adams. And, like, again, that's a good team that was going nowhere, right? If you're relying on a backcourt of Shai at that point, who's like 20 years old, Chris Paul, you know, Steven Adams, Danilo Gallinari are the guys driving the bus. Like, this is not a good enough basketball team to be championship caliber. And so they decide, hey, we're going to move on from Billy Donovan. At that point, they'd already made the Paul George trade. Like, he was gone. So they're like, all right, we're going to punt. And so the next year, they bring in Mark Dagenaw to be the head coach, and they are bad. That first year that Dagenaw is there is the COVID-shortened season, and it's a 72-game season. They win 22 games, so it's a 30% winning percentage. They finish dead last in their division. They're like minus 10 a game in point differential. They're horrendous defensively. It's a bad basketball team. Not as bad as the Wizards have been the last 2 years, but like they're a bad basketball team. And from a roster standpoint, they have guys, obviously like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Shai starts to really show something that year. He's got air averages almost 24 points a game. But their second leading scorer is Darius Bazley. Lou Dort's still there. They do have Al Horford around as a veteran, kind of teaching him how to play. George Hill, veteran, teach him how to play. So it looks in some ways a little similar to this Wizards team, except for the Wizards were stuck in the first year with Kyle, and obviously they traded for Jordan. And like, it's just a weirder collection of players. And unlike the Thunder, who have a 22-year-old for that season, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the Wizards' best player isn't here yet. They still need to, if they want to be a legitimate championship-caliber team in the future, win the draft lottery or come in second in the draft lottery and get Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey or one of these dudes at the top of this draft that's a legitimate, bona fide, best player on a championship-level prospect. I think Bilal can be a really good player, potentially even an all-star. I think Sarr can be a really good player, potentially even an all-star. Neither of those dudes is going to wind up being that. So year two is actually worse under Dagunov from a win percentage standpoint. They win 24 games at a full 82. So they drop below 30% of their win rate. And they flip out some of the vets and change up some of their guys. They start to get a little bit more talent. They get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, obviously, is their leading scorer again. International players that come in and play pretty well for them. But you're still at this point cycling out, I guess is what I would say. And in a lot of ways, hilariously, Olivier Sarr, Alex's brother, is on that team. But there's no Al Horford. There's no older vets on this team that are playing meaningful minutes. Scotty Hobson's like a vet off. Mike Muscala is a vet. Derek Favors is a vet. But those guys are even like, Muscala and Favors are 30 years old, and they play like half the games that season. And then the next year is when Oklahoma City starts to really show something. They win 40 of 42. They're positive point differential on the season. The next year, they obviously were 57-game winners, and they're the number one seed in the West. They lose in the Western Conference semis, and then this year, they're at the top of the division again and are having an unbelievable season where they're 37-9, winning 80% of their games. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is again an MVP candidate, and that's that. So if we look at the rise of the Thunder and say, hopefully that is the model for Washington, there are two different ways I think you can look at it. You can say, okay, the Wizards had a really bad first year and then got worse the second year as they cycle some of the veterans that helped them win games out, or just like were good at, you know, basketball players or whatever, out. And actually what they really did was they got rid of a coach who was playing some of those guys, I think, more than Washington wanted, more than the front office, I should say, wanted. The second year, okay, you're worse, as we just talked about. Third year is when you should start to see a turn. So next year, hopefully, they're competitive. And I would think that there's going to be a strong desire to start winning a lot more games next season. But you could also be like, oh my God, are we still 2 years away? Because the Thunder had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in-house when they started that rebuild. And in many ways, the Thunder's rise is paralleled to his rise because that's how this sport works. And so if Cooper Flagg winds up being a Washington Wizard and he's awesome from day one, they can be a 30-win team next season, which is sincerely what I hope happens, because how many more years of this can we possibly take? Like, I understand it's hard to build a winner, and there isn't really a better way to do it, but God, it is brutal to watch for everyone involved, and it has just got to be demoralizing for the players, and it's got to be demoralizing for Will and for Michael and for the guys in that front office and the women in that front office, the coaching staff, all of it. It just beats you down. And sure, if it all pays off in the end with a championship or a 10-year window of competing for one, then it does feel worth it in the end. And again, if there was a better path towards this, I would be open to it. I just don't know that there is. But I think in some ways it's encouraging to look at the Thunder's path and say it really did take multiple years, including a dip in year two, to start see the up in year three. And my question would be, is this something where we're going to see that upward trend next year? God, I hope so. In year two of Sarr, Carrington, and George, and year three for Bilal. But what they don't have is their engine yet. They don't have the piece that's going to drive them where they ultimately want to go. And part of that is going to come down to lottery luck. If they win, if they get one ping pong ball right in the last year that they didn't, they had three of the four and were the favorites after three ping pong balls to get Victor Wembanyama. You better believe if they had landed Wemby, this timeline would look different because they'd have the engine. And that dude's the best, or one of the best to ever come into the league as a rookie. But I do wonder, like, how far away we are, because we are looking at one of the worst teams in NBA history right now. And as we barrel towards the trade deadline, I am curious to see what they do. And then this offseason, too, I would say pay close attention to who they spend money on, because can they convince a couple of vets to come here and win 30 games next year if they get that piece that they want and start to swing things in the upward direction? Or are they just going to be a 20% win one out of every five team again? And if so, man, how long is this leash? Because that would be a brutal existence to ask Wizards fans to go through another season like this. Let's take some calls on that. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We'll take your calls on the old Zardos next on the Hoffman Show. The Wizards have lost 16 straight games for the second time this season and the third time in the last two seasons. We're talking about it with you. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Let's go to Pete and Laurel to get the call started. Pete, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig. What's up, man?
What's up, Pete?
Listen, man, I'm going to let you know who you're talking to. You're talking about a guy who was born and raised in D.C. I root for all home teams. Nothing out the DMV do I root for. I have so much to say, man, but let me just keep it your show short, man. If they get the number one pick, it's a no-brainer next year. If they don't, I hope they have a plan B, because that's not a guarantee. I personally, I'm a homie. I can't even watch them anymore. It's brutal, man. And if they don't fix it next year, as patient as Ted has been, I'm not sure he can be as patient as he has been going into next year if they don't fix it. He's been known to take his time, but I think that he's really losing the area when it comes down to basketball. They waited for Bradley Beal. They messed that up, and they're still paying for it. They're still paying for it.
That's the thing, and, right, Pete, is like they're in such a hole. Because, and this is where I'm willing to give Will and Michael some level of grace, is like the deconstruction idea is one that needed to be undertaken because of how deep the hole, how badly the last regime screwed up. Like, it is unfortunately the way the NBA CBA is and the nature of basketball. When you mess up something as bad as they messed up Beal, it is near impossible to make a quick pivot unless you get something else extremely right. And that's kind of my thing, Pete, is as a fan who's watched a lot of basketball, right? You're a smart guy. What else do you want them to do? And that is always kind of the trump card where you're just like, well, damn, like if there was a better way, I'm open to it. I just don't know that there is, as painful as this is.
I don't know if it's a better way. And you really, I mean, it's a crapshoot, but I will tell you this, man. You know, my money is not that long and it's not that high, and neither is my time. So I'm not a fair weather fan, but I don't have to waste my time 2 or 3 hours watching the TV set and watching them or going to the games, which I do. But, you know, they do sell money to corporate America, and they can make some money that way and the old way like they used to sell the teams. But what else can they do? I tell you what, those guys get a paycheck just like I do. They better figure it out, sir, because if I don't figure it out on my job, they're going to fire me. Okay? Well, so I'm not going to have too much problem because they're getting a check, and they get a nice check to figure it out. That's their job. And if they don't do their job like I don't do my job, then you move on and you find somebody else you don't get paid for. That's my expectation. Hold them accountable and get the job done or get out of town. That's how I feel, bro.
I appreciate that, Pete. I get it. Thanks for the call, dude. And this is the problem, is they would tell you, we are doing our job. Like, we're making sure that we have the best possible lottery odds and that we're the worst team in the league. So the worst thing that happens to us is that we pick fifth. And by the way, what many people see is a five-player draft, where there might be a dude who's fifth, who's awesome. And if the lottery ball doesn't go their way and they don't finish first and get Cooper Flagg or second and get Ace Bailey or third or fourth, like, they're going to be in the position to get the best player possible because of how bad they are this year. The other way to go about it is to try to get involved in a trade. They've stacked assets as best they can in terms of tradable assets. But, like, if a superstar wants out somewhere else, they're not trying to come here right now. Like, no, let's – I'm trying to think of who – I'll just throw, like, full upper end here, right? Let's say Ant Edwards is fed up in Minnesota, and he's like, I'm tired of being in Minnesota. And Minneapolis is a nice town, but it's cold as hell here. I'm a Georgia boy. Like, get me the hell out of Minnesota. I want to go somewhere else. This organization, the ownership situation's a nightmare with A-Rod and Glenn Taylor fighting each other over the team. Like, this is a clown show. Get me out. Do you think he's going to be like, get me out to D.C.? No. You haven't made yourself an attractive destination. Now, I know that they're working on the back end to try to do that. And I think this group has a fairly good reputation in the league in terms of like Michael's reputation, Will's reputation for how they treat players. And they've made this a better place for guys to work, for their families. They're trying to do all the things that they have direct control over. But team building in the NBA is just really hard. And this is like the conundrum is they could probably convince someone to sign here in free agency and multiple someones by overpaying them and saying, we're going to win the bidding war. And then you get right back in the situation where you were, where you're a 40-win team and you can't ever get to the 50 threshold where they haven't been since 1979. And it really does come down to a question of, like, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a mediocre team that is at least not embarrassing? Or are you willing to tolerate being embarrassing for a hot second so that you can hopefully be really effing good when all the chips ultimately get pushed to the center of the middle, the center of the table? 301-230-0980 is the phone number. We'll take more of your calls next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Talking Wizards with you, unfortunately, because we have to, because they set a record last night. Yeah, that's right. 16 straight losses for the Zardos. It is not pretty at Capital One Arena. So we're talking through it together. A little basketball therapy, if you will, at 301-230-0980. Let's go to Tony in D.C. Tony, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig. This is Aries Tony, man. How you been, dude?
I'm good, Tony. Appreciate you checking in, bro.
Yes, sir. You know, we've done had conversations in the past about this team, man. It's getting ridiculous to... Like everybody else saying, is to watch this team and everything. Just like the other night when they played Toronto, I mean, the arena was half empty. The only reason they had some folks in there last night because they played the Lakers. So it's almost getting to the point now. It seems like people might only come out now to see the opposing team, and that's a darn shame because that reminds me way back in the day when the team was really horrendous and. We talking about the Capital Center years and everything. Yeah. They used to advertise the other team just to get people to come out just to see the game. So, you know, it's almost to that point again, Craig. So, I don't know, man. Remember back in the day when KD was a free agent and everything? He didn't want to give them a conversation. That's how much he thought about that organization. And really, if he would have came here, man, he would have been the next best thing to Jordan. If he could have came here, man. But I don't know, man. Maybe Ken maybe need to think about selling the team or something. I don't know, man. But I can't really see them no more. And it's no guarantee they're going to get the first-round draft pick either, man. Because whoever they get, Cooper Flagg or anybody else, man, it still might be a setback. And it's not going to go like the Commanders. Look, it took us to get one quarterback to get us to the point where we at now. Now we got people wanting to come here. So, I don't know. Maybe they need to follow the Commanders' blueprint.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, like, that's what they're trying to do, right? Is they're investing in a lot of stuff in terms of player development. They're investing in a lot of stuff behind the scenes to set it up so that when the right players are available, they can take them. You know, they've hired, I mean, Will's an outstanding scout. Their GM, Will Dawkins, and Travis Schlenk, who's one of their other top flight guys in the front office. Like, he's an outstanding scout. They have real, like, I don't think there's a problem for the Wizards identifying talent in the draft. The problem for the NBA is the structure. They are just not in control of where they pick. And if they had been the number one pick their first year, they would have taken Victor Wembanyama. Like, didn't need a rocket science degree in scouting to figure that one out. But I also think they've done a nice job with, like, Bilal and, you know, getting Keyshawn George late like they did. Like, that's a heck of a draft pick because you typically don't get starters in the 20s.
Craig, look, we still got Johnny Davis on the team. What has he done for us?
Well, I mean, that wasn't their pick, right? Like, that's just kind of like, he's, you know, the 15th guy on the roster who's playing 8 minutes on average only because the team's losing by 40 on a regular basis. Like, that dude ain't moving the needle one way or another. I guess my question would be, like, I would say two things before I even put a question out to Tony, to you or any other Wizards fan that might call in, is, you don't have to watch them right now. And I realize that kind of sucks because you're a basketball fan. Like, you want to watch your team and you want your team to be good. But I would never tell any Wizards fan right now that's going through this that you must watch every game now or you're not allowed to watch when they're good, hopefully 2 years from now or even next year. Like, you got a life. You got better things to do. And if ultimately that's money out of Ted's pocket, then that sucks for Ted. He's got plenty of other money. He'll be fine. Like, I am not concerned about Ted Leonsis's money. I am kind of looking at it through a how do you actually build a championship team lens, and the process is disgusting. But what have they done so far? And this is actually kind of a interesting question, especially for NBA diehards. I love talking to NBA fans because dudes are locked in and ladies are locked into what's going on around the whole league. It's like, what have they done so far that has been a mistake in the rebuild other than not win the Wembanyama lottery, you know?
Greg, one more thing. What about Corey Kispert? I mean, that draft choice, what he's done for us?
Well, I mean, he was before them, too.
We have not drafted well in the past, man.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is they're digging out of, and Tony, appreciate the call, man. Always good to chat with you. Like, the thing about, like, not drafting well for a decade is you don't have any good players. And, like, Corey's a fine NBA rotation player. Like, he should be a seventh or eighth guy coming off a bench somewhere on a good team who can go get you 25 in a playoff game because he gets hot from three. And if he's not hot from three, you just don't play him. And, like, that's a perfectly, like, that's a role that can make Corey Kispert a lot of money. And I think as a guy around the facility, like, Corey's great. I think Corey's a great influence. He works really hard. Like, he sets a tone. He's a part of the solution in terms of the culture, not a part of the problem. And there's value in that. That value is not directly winning basketball games right now. And they just don't have dudes that are good at winning basketball games right now, which they would probably tell you is fine. And I think that's kind of the debate here. It's like, okay, let's pretend that they did have some more guys that were good at winning basketball games right now. To what end? Do you just become the Beal, Porzingis, Kuzma 40-win team that doesn't go anywhere? And if so, like, how much is that actually more fun than this? And this is like, this is the dilemma that the Wizards are dealing with right now. Is like, you can be kind of bad or really bad. And if your goal is to be really good, the better plan is to be really bad. The problem is then you're really, really bad. And oh my God, are they horrendous. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, what's up, Craig? How you doing, buddy?
Good, dude.
Let me say this about the Wizards, man. It is painful to watch. It's extremely painful to watch. It's even more painful to watch on that network, because every time I turn to the network doesn't seem to run correctly. I don't know. Here's the deal with basketball, and I think you'll agree with me what I'm about to say. Football, hockey, and baseball, you can build everything through the draft. once you get that right, Jim, you can go from there. I think baseball and hockey is a little bit more difficult, especially baseball. Baseball is very difficult. But you got to get the right pieces. You can build everything through the draft. Basketball, it's a catch and shoot, man. And it's so sad. And I think why this is one of the reasons why I think the ratings are so low. Because when you look at basketball, unless you have a top-flight talent on your team, it's very hard for any team to win. I've often said, I've said this for the last 10 years, what the NBA should really do is get rid of 15 to 20 teams and just have 10 teams play every year. Because, to be honest with you, Craig, I'm not blaming what these guys are doing. I think they're going about it the right way, trying to rebuild this organization. But you're banking on a draft lottery, which I think has been it's been rigged at best. Let's keep it real. And
my tin hat isn't on like that. I'm not a rigged guy.
And that may be true.
It's true. It's not rigged.
We have not won 50 games since before you was born.
Correct.
And that was when I was 9 years old, 1979.
Correct.
How long ago that's been?
A long time. I wasn't here, and I turned 35 next month. I'm not as young as I used to be, Mark.
You're 20 years younger than me. You turn 35 next month. I turn 55 in March. Okay? Yeah. So my thing is this, man. I mean, if you really look at the situation, we've had only – their situation is a heck of – I mean, everyone talks about the Commanders around here for 33 years. They have nothing compared on the Wizards. The Wizards have been bad since 79. And real fans like me who've been with this team since I was eight when they won the title and 9 – we sit up and say either it's the league or it's ownership. But see, when you change owners and you change everything else, the best thing that happened to this team in the last 25 years, a lot of people may not like him because of how it ended, was Gilbert Arenas. And the saddest part about that, even he couldn't win 50 games. John Wall couldn't win 50 games. I mean, this team is – I mean, Craig, you can say whatever you want. This team is cursed, man.
It certainly feels like Mark, I get the frustration, and like the thing you're describing here, like I'm not trying to like be insulting with this. I'm agreeing with your point, just to be very, very clear here, right? Like the problem that we have for basketball, to your point, is math. If you are looking at the NFL, you have 11 dudes on the field at a time, right? The NBA, you have 5. So we are talking about less than half the people that can make the impact. And that's before we take in that it's not comparing 5-on-5 basketball to 5-on-5 football. Like, basketball is a sport, especially in the modern iteration, where you put the ball in your best player's hands and you ride with them. And if that means, if you have LeBron James or Nikola Jokic or Giannis Antetokounmpo, or even, like, not championship level, but 50 wins
Wemby.
Level, James Harden.
I mean, Wemby.
Like, Wemby. Like, pick your dude of the last whatever modern era of basketball, Steph Curry, obviously. Like, if you have one of those and he controls the game half the time that the ball is in play, because offensively they're great. Nevertheless, if it's someone like LeBron or Wemby who can defend or control the game on both sides of the floor in their primes, which Wemby isn't even there yet, like that has such an outsized impact. So what you've identified is the absolute correct thing. The problem is, since 1979, the Wizards have not once had a top 10 player probably in the league for anything more than maybe a year. Maybe the absolute peak of John Wall, was he
Gilbert
a top 10 guy? Was Gilbert
Arenas
like that? Maybe for a year, but not for any extended thing. Right. So, like, you can give me one Gilbert year. John made All NBA a couple times, I think. Brad was third team, but that tells you he's like somewhere between 11 and 15. Like, they don't have the dudes. And it's because they've had terrible general managers for the majority of that. Certainly until Will got here, all of Ted's ownership.
True.
And I think to your point, Mark, I got to let you run because we're up against the clock here, but appreciate your call as always.
I got one more thing I want to say.
Yeah,
to you real quick,
fire away.
I'm going to let you go. They have not won 50 games since they instituted the three-point line, which was instituted in 1980. Something to think about. Great show, Craig. I love being on your podcast, Instagram, and YouTube. Keep have me on there again this week, too.
Appreciate you, Mark. Yeah, Mark gave us some good content with his DK Metcalf call earlier this week. That thing is blowing up on YouTube right now. But here's the other thing that I want to make stress of real quick, and then we'll take a couple more calls to wrap up the hour here on this topic. Without the cover of the Commanders being booty, the Wizards are in a whole new world right now. And they might, I do not, to be very clear, Ted, if you're listening, I don't think they should abandon the plan. They just have to know that the plan for right now is going to be real hard to defend publicly. And I hope that they will come out and do some explaining, and it's not going to work for with everyone. It might not even work for most people, but like, if they come out and say, this is kind of where we're at, I think that will go a long way. Someone like Michael Winger, and Michael and I have talked about doing something like that, and I think that's going to happen. So I promise that I am efforting on my end of it to try to talk to the people at the very top of this to have that accountability to at least ask the questions, right? You might not like the answers, but I'm going to ask the questions. But also, this is going to hurt Ted's bottom line. And it should, because you guys shouldn't feel like you should have to watch this team right now. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to watch them when they're good. It just means, you know, like, you can find some other basketball to watch, or you can go see your family or whatever. And I know it sucks, because maybe the thing you do with your family is go to Wizards games. But if the goal is to win a championship, I have yet to hear a better path than this, even though, oh my God, this has got to be the most painful version of doing this, the ultimate just, we are not going to be good. And they have accomplished that at a near embarrassing level, if this wasn't actually secretly, maybe not so secretly, the point. And they no longer have the Commanders being embarrassing for cover, which is going to turn the eyes of DC sports fans towards Ted in a way that he's not used to, because he doesn't have Dan Snyder across town acting like a boob. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Inside baseball here. Max, can we cut, knock out the trending, please? I've blown through the time that we would have for that. So we're going to next what's trending. If you have a phone, you know what's trending. When we get back, you're going to possibly use that phone to call the radio show. More of your calls next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at Team 980. Here from Logan Paulson on the Commanders offensive line situation coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Clinton Yates, 5:30. Let's get these last two calls in real quick. Let's go to, as we're talking about the Wizards here, with Greg in Upper Marlboro. Greg, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig, it's a pleasure talking to you, man. Enjoy your show all the time, buddy.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate that. What you got for me on these Zardos?
I mean, you know, I could deal with the losing if I saw more competitive fire from the guys. I look at a lot of the other young teams, especially a team like Detroit that seems to be up and coming, and I see more dog in their players, you know. Our players seem to be a little nice, you know, and a little too soft. And I know that, I don't know if everybody recognizes it or not, but look like Koulibaly's confidence is being shattered, because he has to check the toughest player every night. And he seems to have kind of lost some of his confidence, because he doesn't even look, you know, right when he takes his shot. When offensively, he doesn't look that good. Not like he was, like, maybe earlier in the season or maybe last year. Looked like he may have regressed. And Sarr is a nice kid, you know, but he's frail. And overall, I just think that we need, you know, I don't see enough competitive fire in these guys, you know, and pride, you know, that really, I guess also I think that they need a little bit more mean streak. I hate to say it like that, but
I get what you're saying, though.
They got some real.
Yeah, you know, Greg, I do get what you mean. I appreciate the call. And I think it's worth reminding everyone, and I'm saying this factually, not as necessarily a defense of the team or of these kids, but they're kids, right? They're like 19, 20 years old. Bilal might be 21 at this point, but I think he's still 20. Like, they are kids in a grown ass man league, and they play like it sometimes. And I think it's on the staff and on the org to not put them in those positions if they think that they're harmful, and to moderate that up and down, probably some, to turn those dials. And I think that was part of the problem with Wes last year, was they felt like everything was super stagnant. But letting Bilal attack the best player on the other team defensively is something that I think he should get a lot of experience doing. But I think it has to come in doses. And I remember having this fight with some people on Wizards Twitter last year when they didn't put the ball in someone like Denny's hands more, or Bilal's hands more, and like Kyle Kuzma's taken X amount of shots. And I'm like, y'all don't understand the long game here, that there has to be some moderation of the touches and of how the offense flows in that. Not to necessarily help you win more games this year, because I don't think an offense running through Denny Advia or through Kyle Kuzma last year or Kyle or Jordan this year is going to win you a ton of NBA basketball games. And I present as evidence the last 2 years of Wizards basketball. But you're not at risk of like messing up the tank. But what you are doing is protecting the young guys from overexposure. And that's the thing that I don't know is happening right now, is these guys play a ton of minutes and they're just not up for it. Like, do they need to recalibrate here middle of the season? And that, I think, is one of the questions about, like, Brian Keefe as a guy who's a head coach for a first time. And, you know, he gets to make mistakes too as a head coach for a first time. But there's just got to make sure that there's good, healthy collaboration between Brian and the front office and the players, and making sure that they don't create bad habits or sap guys with their confidence, because it does at times look like it is being sapped, and that there is some potential long-term risk here. And you didn't go through all of this to have it all, you know, fall apart on the other end. You did this so that it pays off. Let's wrap up, though, I think a little bit different perspective that Melvin wants to give. Melvin's out in Atlanta. Melvin, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show. Wrap us up here on the Wizards.
Okay, Craig, thanks for letting me in. I agree with you. Most of the people don't understand. This new general manager and group, they came, they built up Oklahoma as soon as. Look what they're doing now. Not the Sooners, but Oklahoma.
The Thunder, Oklahoma City, yeah.
And they're growing. Yeah, and so all we have to do is be patient. They already came out and said this is not a one-year turnaround. Yeah, we got to be patient. And to be patient, we've been drafting, you know, bad for years. Now let these guys play and get some, you know, something under their belt. But, you know, yeah, it hurts to watch them. But the management already said, we're going to build. It's not going to take, you know, this year, but just be patient. And I don't think the listeners are being patient. Football's over, so now they're looking at Washington Wizards and don't understand. This is a rebuild, and we're getting ready to build something here. We just got to be patient. We haven't been this close to building something in years. We always get a low draft pick or, you know, nothing happens, but these guys know what they're doing. Just give them some time, and we're going to have something here. It's not going to happen overnight like the W did this year. So I'm like you, Craig. We're building something. Be patient. Thank you.
You got it, Melvin. I appreciate you wrapping us up with that, because I think it's true. You have to have some patience. Now, this is perhaps more patience than we'd all imagine, but on the build, and I'll go back to the analogy that I've used throughout this over the last couple of months. And yeah, we're definitely talking about them more now because football is over. And also because last night they set history again, tying the franchise record losing streak for the second time in this season. But if we take them at their word that this is the deconstruction phase of the rebuild, you do not drive past a construction site and go, look at that hideous new building, when they're taking the old one down. And I don't know that everyone fully appreciates how much had to be taken down from the years of Tommy Shepard and Ernie Grunfeld and bad management, bad drafting. You have very few assets to deal with. You're just in a really torn up place that you have to rebuild from scratch, which means taking down and taking some lumps based off what was in place when you got there. And it's ugly. It's real ugly. And perhaps it's uglier than we thought. And it might be, frankly, uglier than they thought. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the long term has been affected negatively yet. And I think that's the question we're all asking right now, because being one of the worst teams in NBA history doesn't feel like it should be on the path to opening up a 10-year window of contention, but it just might be. It just might be the way that you're supposed to do this, and certainly these guys have some experience of going about it with their history with the Thunder, where they did it twice in a 20-year span. First, the Durant-Westbrook crew, and then dismantling that to build what is currently the best team in the NBA in the Oklahoma City Thunder, powered by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we do get back to some football. Logan Paulson and I talking about the Commanders' top needs for this offseason, and specifically the offensive line, how it fits into that list, and what are some options for Washington. We'll get to that next on the Team 980.